were interested in his particular ministry, and having been involved with that ministry for a few years, of course I was interested. And so I figured it was a real privilege if he would come and share with us some things about his ministry, as well as challenges from God's Word. And when he is finished with his part of the program, we'll take up a love offering for the family. All right, John, if you will come up, we'll turn the pulpit over to you.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Amen, brother.
There is a glass of water here for you if you want it.
Okay.
Okay.
I have
very this good.
Now. Amen. Amen. I'll start by saying it's such a privilege and a blessing and an honor to be here with y'all today. And I want every single one of y'all, I passed out a lot of prayer cards. But if anybody ain't got a prayer card, I got a stack of them back there at the table. I want y'all to be praying for us. Pray for our ministry. Pray for my family. Have my family stand so I can introduce them. Here's three of my five girls. We got five girls, two boys, but three of my five girls. Got my wife, Rebecca, and then we got Liana, then we got the twins, Susanna and Cassandra. And I want to say, it's again, it is such a privilege to be here with y'all today and tell y'all about our ministry. As the preacher was saying, we work with Rock of Ages Ministries. Rock of Ages started in 1977 and just sending cassette tapes to prisoners. But now there are 130 of us scattered all over the world. And just a few years ago, Rock of Ages branched out. So not only are we Rock of Ages prison ministries, but also we enter into the schools, the public schools. We call it prison prevention. And then also we have a strong international outreach with headquarters in Philippines, Brazil, Romania, and other nations. And I want to stand here and say that I am 110% in the perfect will of God, blessed by God, having the time of my life ministering for Him. And I'm excited because I just came from a prison revival last week. At Rock of Ages, we had our Alabama prison blitz. There were 100 of us preachers and volunteers that scattered to 8 different facilities across Alabama for 3 days. And there were 223 professions of faith. The prison I entered into, Kilby State Prison, with 12 others, we had 48 professions of faith. I'm excited because I conducted the Spanish service. That's what my calling is. I'm bilingual. We ministered for 20 years on the church planting side across America, especially with the migrant farm workers down in Mockley, Florida. And we labored there. And then through our ministry, I'm bilingual. And I had the privilege to take Kilby State Prison. Didn't have a lot of his family. We had 10. And we met in a separate room outside of the chapel while they were conducting English. I was preaching to his 10 Hispanic men in prison in Spanish. And the very last night, there were 3 that raised their hand concerning salvation, but 2 that got born again into the family of God. And you should have seen the sweet peace. You should have seen the condemnation that was just rolled away, at that burden, that guilt of sin, as whenever they trusted in Christ and repented, trusted in Christ as their Savior, you could see it. They were weeping, and at the burden, the guilt of sin was rolled away. And I've already told this story at the supper table and everything. There were 2 other guys that had already made profession of faith, were born again, 2 or 3 others. When they seen their compadres, when they seen their companions there, trusting in Christ, and they seen the work of God written all over their faces, they spontaneously burst out in amen, amen, glory to God. And so I'm all revived up. You know revival? Hey, I'm revival. I'm revived because I've seen men born again into the family of God. Just a week prior to that, I was also at another prison. That was at Kilby State Prison. The week prior to that, I was at Century Correctional in Florida. Had Spanish service there. And then I was also able in English to teach a character under construction class. But there were two men that God allowed me to impact their lives. There was a Peruvian there. They speak Spanish in Peru. So a Peruvian man that came up to me twice. And I mean, he enjoyed speaking in Spanish. You know, he was bilingual, but they always appreciate somebody speaking in Spanish to him. And so we hit it off together. And we sat down, and I was able to give him passages of hope, give him words of encouragement. And also, there's this Cuban brother, had already made a profession of faith 2 or 3 years earlier. He excitedly came up to me the last day, and he had a piece of paper written with verses from the Bible, how that they were key verses, challenging verses. They were God's message that God had revealed to him. And he came up to me, and I was looking at his verses. I was rejoicing with him over that list of verses. I hope you have a favorite verse out of the Word of God. Let the Holy Ghost shine and take his great big spiritual spotlight and illuminate God's Word unto you. And he had his list of verses that he was sharing with me, this Cuban man. And we were rejoicing together, and we spent time together for several minutes talking. And I was able to be a ray of light unto him and to encourage him in the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Jude, let me find it here. I'm springing this off here. In the book of Jude, give me just a second to find the verse. The book of Jude, verse number 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. God's the only one that can make a difference in their lives. It's not me. You know, when God called me into Rock of Ages, the verse that God used to show me that it was his perfect will of God was Zechariah 4:6, where the angel Lord told Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And there at Rock of Ages, when we had our minister training there at the home office about 2 or 3 weeks ago, there's a man that brought out, it had a plaque, and it said, only God. Only God. And there, our North American director this past week, whenever he was speaking, he took that and he said, only God is able. And we had 200 prisoners there on our English service. We had 200 prisoners there, and we had them stand up and say, only God is able. Only God is able. Is able? Only God. We said, tell them prisoners that only God. You know, whenever I'll take my videos so that I can get my badges, that's my, it's basically name tag badges, so you can be able to go into the prisons. Each state has their own rules and regulations. And so we got to watch all these videos of training. And the key words that they mention is reformation. The key words that they, being reformed. The key words that they mention is reintroduction into society. They try every which method, way to do that, through education, through work, various education. Also, they allowed in the religious ministers. But the idea behind it is reintroduction in society. You and I know that the only person that can make a difference in their lives. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Jesus said in Matthew 9:12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Sin sick. So many people sin sick. Sin sick through religion. Sin sick. Jesus said in John 10, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. We go into prisons where that sin, you know what sin does? It will take you farther than you ever intended to go. It'll cost you more than you ever expected to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. Sin has wrecked their lives. You can see it written all over them, the hopelessness. We go into prison, and there's some that are getting off of drugs. Go into the jails, and there's some that are just having OD'd and are getting off of drugs. You see the hopelessness. You see the loneliness. You see what sin has done in their lives. You and I know the inconsequence of sin, for the wages of sin is death. So what do? We go in now into the jails and the prisons, and we preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that can make a difference in their lives. That brings my mind to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, we have here Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Paul and Silas were cast into the jail. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them, speaking of Paul and Silas, into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. I'm glad that I can go get locked behind bars along with the prisoners and right there in their environment preach and sing praises unto God. This last week I went into the SEG unit, the segregation unit. And I went into the SEG unit. The last prison we was at is open dormitories, but they had the SEG unit of who knows why they were in the SEG unit, but they were kept apart from the other population. They were in like what we'd call SEG unit, solitary, I guess you could look at it as solitary confinement. And I remember I was there and I approached this one cell. And this black man, about maybe 63, 65 years of age, I approached him with our literature. And I said, would you like some literature? Yes, I would. I said, let me ask you, if you die today, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? He said, I don't know. I hope I'm going to heaven. And I said, well, there's not much hope in hoping you're going to heaven. And I'm glad I began to preach to him Jesus Christ crucified. For the preacher of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I took him straight to Isaiah 53. Christ crucified, the Lamb of God who bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ crucified, And I began to witness in him and tell him about the hope that is in Jesus Christ. I was about 5 minutes into witnessing, and you can see the tears start to flow. He started crying. And I asked him, you can have this hope. You can have forgiveness of sins. Would you want to be saved? Would you want to give your life to God and be saved and have this hope? He said, yes, I would. And I sat there and he prayed. And I asked him, did God do anything for you? I see. He said, yes, he did. Did he save you? He said, yes, the Lord saved me. So I stand here a blessed man, all charged up, ready to go on for the Lord, because I experienced my own personal revival of winning somebody to the Lord. How many people have you won to the Lord? I know there's dry times. I know. Been there, done that. I've passed out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of literature. Thousands of literature with no results. Matter of fact, I've been in the woods in the secret place of the devil park on my shoulder and saying casting doubts in my mind. But that's when God retook me back to the fact that his word shall not return void. That's when God took me back to his word, for the word of God is quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word's alive. It's living. It's powerful. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word's powerful. It will not return void. All men are not going to receive it. You might be the planter. Other person might be the waterer. But neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See, you and I are nothing. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Many are going through that broad gate, few through that straight and narrow gate. But thank God for them few that are entering in to heaven. I'm so glad God called me into the prison. They serve our needy folk, ready. Don't have to do much convincing to them on sin. They know they're a sinner in need of salvation. The Hispanic group that I just had, the very first night they walked in, I said, and I knew that it was a Bible study group that was meeting there in that room, and I was just going to have the services with them for 3 days. And so I already knew the fact that this wasn't their first time having services. So I asked them, I said, how many people here know 100% that you're going to heaven? If you die today, or if Jesus comes back, you're going to heaven. You place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're headed to heaven. All of them raised their hand. I started that first night preaching on Christ crucified. 3/4 of the way through, I asked them, what all do you have to do to go to heaven? And how many works do you have to perform to make it to heaven? And I started receiving some answers that I did not want to hear. So I said to myself, we need to do some plowing. So the next night, I preached on by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That last night, I preached on the new birth, how that there's new life in Christ. And I gave them my personal testimony when I got saved when I was 9 years old. I got saved when I was 9 years old. 3 months prior, I heard the gospel preached for the first time when my grandparents invited my parents to Faith Baptist Church, Rumsey, Kentucky. Small church that does not exist anymore. Wooden pews, wooden floor, outhouse for the restroom. And it was there that I first heard the gospel preached. Hell hot, heaven sweet, condemnation. We're sinners on the way to hell, but thank God that Jesus Christ died on our sins 2,000 years ago when he paid our sin debt. And I gave them my personal testimony how the Holy Ghost convicted me for about 3 months. But I rejected it. And then that Sunday morning service, November 29th, 1981, when I gave my heart and life to Christ, and I was born again into the family of God. So on that last week, I parked there, and we had already dealt with grace, repeated. We'd read Isaiah 53 already several times together, parked there on the new birth, and how there's new life in Christ, and apart from Christ, there is no life. And right there, during the invitation time, I asked for a show of hands again, which ones knew that it's 100% going to heaven. And had they been born again into the family of God? And did they know if he's going to heaven? And that's when they raised their hands and they trusted in Christ as their Savior. I thank God for what he done last week. That's how come I wanted to mention it. I thank God for what he done last week. Now, about Rock of Ages, what do? Well, we have chaplain sides and we have the prison revival sides. On the prison revival sides, they're scheduled. Rock of Ages has scheduled 365 days of the year. Every week of the year, we have a prison revival going here in the United States. I'm one man. I can't get around to all of them. But in our prison revivals, we go in, and this past week, we go cell-to-cell visitation. And then depending on the state, Alabama, we had services at night. Some states, we could only have services in the morning. And we had services there. And we go, and we have prison revivals. And then after a man gets saved, and we go and pass out literature. Rock of Ages has its own publication department in Cleveland, Tennessee. We go in with trays full of literature, such as anger issues, bitterness issues, new life in Christ, gospel tracts, New Testament for those that the Rock of Ages study Bible in New Testament form, so that those who have trusted Christ can grow in the Lord. We have study book material. And we go in and we pass out the literature so that the printed word of God can do a work in their heart and their lives. And then we preach to them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 5. Just to elaborate more on what God can do in a person's life. Mark chapter number 5. The maniac of Gadara. The transformed life, the changed life, the new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The changed life, the transformed life that only God can do in a sinner's heart. Mark chapter number 5, we begin reading verse number 1, goes along with that topic. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So many people today find them in this situation, in an untamed state, in a rebellious state. Men that have broken the laws of society, rebels at heart. They've rebelled against the laws. And they find themselves today behind bars. And always, night and day, this maniac, this man that was an outcast of society, this man dwelling in tombs, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. So we have pictured here the most horrible story of a sin-wrecked, demon-destroyed account of a person we have here in the Bible. Outcast from society, crying, a terror to society. I mean, this was straight out of Halloween material, okay? Living in the graveyard, living in the tombs, crying, screeching, wailing, bloody, cutting himself with stones. They had tried to tame him, and full of demons and devil possessed. He'd break the fetters and break the chains. I have my display with me, but I have a chain on my display, and on that chain we have a sign, and in Spanish says Cristo rompe las cadenas. Christ breaks the chains. They had tried to put the fetters, the handcuffs, and the chains, but he broke them asunder, demon-possessed, a horrible state that this man found himself in. Verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now we hear what the devil, the demon, say, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the disciples besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Now verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I just had last week a man come up to me, this gentleman that's in the prison, and he come up to me and said that he had just gotten saved a couple years prior in prison through a Rock of Ages revival, and he had just gotten saved not long before. And he said, it ain't all too long before I get out. He goes, and God's impressed upon me to go back to my family and my friends and tell them what God had done for me. And that's the reason why I'm reading this chapter here out of Mark chapter number 5. Let's continue reading. Verse 15 again. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And of some having compassion, making a difference. I'm glad that you and I serve a compassionate God. left the throne of heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered on the cruel cross of Christ, all due to his great compassion. While suffering on the cross, out with a heart of compassion, he prayed unto the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we see here how that God, Jesus, had compassion on this man that had been rejected by everybody else. And as I watched them videos to get my badges in my various states, reintroduction in society. My friend, this is reintroduction in society, where that maniac became a missionary, where the others could see his transformed life. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Christ had compassion, transformed this man's life, and we find him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Books couldn't help that. Help that man. Psychiatrists couldn't help that man. Psychologists couldn't help that man. Education couldn't help that man. But an encounter with Christ transformed this maniac's heart. And an encounter of Christ is the only thing that's going to transform these prisoners' hearts and lives. And when they do get out, they can tell the good news of how God changed their lives from the inside out. How God had compassion on them. How that despite the theft, but despite the murder, despite the rape. Matter of fact, last week, the young man that was took care of the chapel services, so far as the orderly for the chapel services, he hung around us all week long. He couldn't get enough. He couldn't soak up enough of what we had to say. And even during child time, he avoided child time and he was busy talking to us, trying to soak it all up. He was getting ready to get out. He had been in prison for murdering his uncle. But he's getting ready to get out. You know how society is. You know how the laws are. Sometimes they give longer prison sentences to those that should have shorter, and many times they don't give long enough prison sentences. But that young man had met Jesus Christ, and he could not get enough of the Word of God. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Them two Hispanic men, I seen God do a work in their hearts and their lives as they tearfully, with utter relief, said, thank you, thank you. Matter of fact, it was last week when at the end of one of the preaching services, there in the prison, a young black man walked up to me and said, they're already headed to chow. And the young black man walked up to me, he said, he did with conviction, with purpose, walked up to me and said, I want to get saved. I said, hallelujah. So we went aside away from the other people. And I said, you heard the word of God preached. Do you see yourself lost in Jesus, your only hope of salvation? He goes, yes, I do. I said, I have my Bible. I showed him Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, I'm going to pray quietly, but you just call upon God, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and maybe do like that publican did. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, I sat there praying, and I was praying quietly, and I was keeping one ear open. And he said, Lord, forgive me, save me. And then for the next entire minute, he went on with tears. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, thank you so much. He must have said, Lord, thank you so much, 30 or 40 times. I stopped praying. I put my arm around it. Hallelujah, brother. As God had compassion on him. God done a work in his heart right then and there. God done a work in his heart because God had compassion on him and saved him and met him right there where he was and changed and the Holy Ghost, like we was reading it, Romans chapter number 8, the Holy Ghost was bearing witness with his spirit that he was the child of God. Let me turn there, Romans chapter number 8, the Holy Ghost was bearing witness, had to find it right here. Right here, it says, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Ghost parked right there, well, when he entered them, and gave him that peace, that comfort, assurance that he was a child of God. Sins forgiven, clothed with the righteousness of Christ. On the way to heaven, later on he's going to find out that he was baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, that now Christ, he's in Christ and Christ is in him. He'll find that out and rejoice in that later on. But the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Magnification of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature, all of us, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter number 2, the first portion. God's grace, where sin abound, grace doth much more abound. The grace of God can take a drunk, a fornicator, adulterer, a murderer, because don't forget about David, okay? And don't forget, even though he did the ignorant unbelief, what Saul, who became Paul, did and cast, having them women and children, men, taken to prison, Christians. And the grace that can transform them people's lives and make a murderer, make a rapist, make a sodomite, make a thief, make a murderer, fornicator, adulterer, can make them, make a prostitute, can make them children of God. All right, thank you, brother.